everyone. My name is Christine, and I'm here to welcome you to Essex Center United Methodist Church for virtual worship as we continue to celebrate the Christmas season.
Thank you, Christine, for that warm welcome, and welcome to you all as we gather to worship on this first Sunday of the Christmas season. Out at the malls are taking down all the Christmas decorations. The Christmas trees are being turned off. But we know that this is just the beginning of this season, that we celebrate Christ being born in our midst, in our world, and in our heart. And we welcome you to this time to celebrate that. My name is Mitchell Hay, and I am privileged to be the pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church in Essex Center, Vermont.
Merry Christmas. I'm Barb Lemmel. I'm married to Mitch, and I attended Essex Center and work for the conference. It's good to have you this morning.
We invite you to begin worship with our call to worship, which is a Scottish blessing that comes a little over 100 years old. If you have a bulletin that came to you via email or on the Facebook page, we invite you to look at that and read the bold type in the call to worship. And Barb, you'll read the bold type here. My proud Scottish clan, the Hayes, did not give me a good accent, so I'll just do this in neutral Midwest. God bless to me the new day, never vouchsafed to me before.
It is to bless thine own presence thou has given me this time, O God.
Bless thou to me mine eyes. May mine eyes bless all it sees.
I will bless my neighbor. May my neighbor bless me.
God, give me a clean heart. Let me not from sight of thine eye.
Bless to me my children and my family. Bless to me my means and my cattle.
Amen. Amen. If you don't have cattle, maybe your puppies or kitties or whatever is in your household. We are going to invite you to sing two verses of Joy to the World. We sang this on Christmas Eve, this same modality. So enjoy two verses of Joy to the World. You were able to belt it out in your dining room or your bedroom or wherever you are. We're going to have a quieter time now, an opening to God time in our bulletin, a poem by Jan Richardson read by Eve Thorson. We invite you to quiet yourself and breathe deeply into the knowledge of God's love being enfleshed this season.
What we choose changes us. Who we love transforms us. How we create remakes us. Where we live reshapes us. So in all our choosing, O God, make us wise. In all our loving, O Christ, make us bold. In all our creating, O Spirit, give us courage. In all our living, may we become whole.
Thank you, Eve. Thank you, Eve. We have a wonderful young people's message by Danielle and her family. How we go in Advent from wait and see to go and tell.
Hi. So do you remember what the season before Christmas is called?
Advent.
Advent. So all during Advent, what did we talk about?
Peace, love, hope, and joy.
Peace, love, hope, and joy. Yep. And what were we waiting for? Waiting. Jesus. It was a season of waiting. Yes. We were waiting for Jesus to be born on Christmas. Jesus is born. And when all during Advent we're saying, come. And on Christmas we say, come and see. Who are some people that come and see Jesus?
Mary and Joseph.
Yeah, they see him first for sure.
Shepherds.
Shepherds come and see.
The three wise men.
Three wise men come and see.
The ox and the donkey.
Ox and
the
donkey.
And the sheep.
Any animals came and see because they were in a little area that was might have had some animals in it next to the family's house. What about they were in the city where Joseph was from, so do you think maybe some of his family members might have come and saw the baby?
Yeah.
Doesn't
and
say that much, but it's possible.
Everybody in the inn.
Yep, if there was people that were staying nearby maybe, yep. So yeah. Everyone, their job was to come and see the baby. And after they came and saw the baby, now this was really exciting, because they thought it was someone that might bring some new life, some new hope to the world. And when you have something really exciting, Emmett, what's something that you do when something is really exciting? If you,
I'm really happy.
And you're really happy.
And I want to play with it.
You want to play with it right away. What if someone comes over? Someone new came over, and you had saw that you had a new toy. What would you want to do? Your friend came over. Or you go to school.
I would share it.
You would share it. So before Advent and on Christmas, we're talking about coming and seeing. Come and see. After Christmas, our job is to go and tell. Have you ever heard the song, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. So before Christmas, the message is come and see. And after Christmas, our job is to go and tell. So to go out of our houses and to go out of our out into the community and tell people. Now, you can tell people with words that Jesus is born and that he loves us and that he came just for us.
You can tell people with actions.
What are some ways you could tell people with actions?
You could smile.
You can smile. What's another way you could?
Do hand language.
Sign language, yep. You could do hand language, yep. How about telling them by doing kind things?
Yeah.
Because you're loved by Jesus and you can show them Jesus' love. You can tell them about it with your actions. So, can we say a prayer?
Yes.
Dear God, thank you for the season of Advent. Thank you for having something so exciting for us to come and see. Now, help us to go and tell others about your Son. Amen.
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you for that great message. We have an update on our Heifer Project. We are raising funds to buy lots of amazing critters and some kitchen stuff. So Joanne, please update us with that.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're all able to find a meaningful and most likely new way to enjoy Christmas this year. We have some exciting news on the Heifer front. This week, we have collected over $1,600, but that's not the only exciting news that we have. If we have our payment in by December 31st, it will be tripled. So that $1,600 can be much more depending on how many other donations come in this week. If you are still planning to send something in or have something in the mail, if you could please let either Donna Holmes or myself know that so that we can be expecting it and make sure that that is included in what we send in by the 31st. this past week, I spent some time on the Heifer website. And the first thing I realized was that I was pronouncing the stoves incorrectly. It makes a lot more sense to me now. They're actually called biogas stoves. Sounds a lot better too. On the Heifer website, they actually have a cool project you can try at home to make your own biogas. So feel free to go on. It's pretty easy project. We are in the process of trying it here. So I'll give you an update next week on how we make out. So far, we've had a few votes come in. Some people are looking for Water for Life. We have a vote to send a girl to school. We're looking for some sheep, Joy to the World, the Earth Gift Basket, and also stoves for a village. If we're looking at tripling our donation, I think we can probably assume we can do all of those. Thank you so much, everyone who's donated.
Thank you, Joanne. And thank you, everyone, for your generous donations to Heifer Project and the good differences we can make. I also want to thank you so very much for the Christmas gift that you gave Barb and me. It was very generous, and we are going to be using much of that to share some Christmas joy, both locally and around the world. So thank you for being able to be empowered to do that.
Absolutely.
We invite you now to listen for God's word in the word. Our first lesson from the Hebrew scriptures comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9. We read this earlier in Advent as well. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
And then also this lesson from the beginning of the Gospel of John, which we read Christmas Eve. In the beginning was the Logos, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God, and through it, everything came about, and without it, not a thing came about. What came to be in the Word was life, and the life was the light of the people. The light in the darkness shines, and the darkness could not apprehend it.
That is the last reading we do every Christmas for our Lessons and Carols service. It ends the evening on a very thoughtful and philosophical note, this prologue to John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John has these beautiful symbols throughout the Gospel of light and dark, of good and evil, and they resonate in our hearts. We have a play that connects to that a little bit. Not really a play, it's a poem.
It's not quite as high a poem as John's Logos poem.
It goes from the sublime to the silly.
It's a retelling, or it's in the manner of The Night Before Christmas by Maren Tirabassi that is told from the point of view of a minor character in the Christmas story.
Actually, an invisible character.
An invisible character in the Christmas story, which is the innkeeper, And so this is told by the innkeeper and his wife, whose names are Jacob and Hannah. And if you'll give us just a minute, we will embody those characters. Mm.
Just a caveat to this. Most Christmases, I talk about how important it is to let each of the Gospels be themselves, to let Matthew's story with the Magi and Herod and the soldiers be itself, and to let Luke's story of the shepherds and the angels be itself, and how when we mash them up in our Christmas plays, in our dramas, that's we're perhaps doing a disservice. So we're doing that today.
This is one of those mashups.
This is one of those mashups.
Just sit back and enjoy.
Because it's silly and fun. So we hope that you can just enjoy it for what it is.
Right.
So I'm an innkeeper named Jacob.
Good morning. I'm Hannah, his wife.
'Twas the night before census, and all through my inn, there were merchants and pilgrims. What a crowd, what a din. The soldiers of Rome were all playing at dice. They drink my wine freely, but complain of the mice. The tribune claims Herod their room rent will pay. We'll see.
But I sent our young children to a cousin away. And Sarah, my oldest, helps me with the food. She's fast and she's pretty, never flustered or rude. When a guest is too friendly, it's an elbow he'll feel, or hot kebabs in his lap, on his sandal, a heel. Sarah came in from the chickens and mentioned a sky strangely lit by a star as bright as God's eye. A sky full of portents, a mysterious glow. Though I'm not superstitious, I prayed quick, even so.
Just then, we all heard one more knock at the door. But my beds are all taken in each space on the floor. What do they expect? I have magical powers. Even the roof has been full for 3 hours. Oh, but this couple was poor. You could see by their clothes. Young too, and exhausted. That's how it goes. But my Hannah and Sarah, they gave me the glance.
We know he has that he barks loudly, then gives folks a chance. These two are just kids and a kid on the way.
And I thought of the stable and the warmth and the hay. Hannah pulls me aside with her woman's insight.
You know, Jacob, that baby will be born tonight.
Oh, then the stable won't do.
No, it's perfect. No soldiers to stare, and it's private and quiet.
But the cow and her calf and three dogs and two cats, two Roman horses. Ugh, all the doves and the bats.
They'll be fine. They'll be safe. Mm-hmm. Grab the rake. Here's a broom. Now, Abba, go out there and tell them there's room. We cleaned it up fast, and it isn't a fable that a baby was born that night in our stable.
And then came the shepherds. They told about, I mixed up my lyrics here. Next came the shepherds, and they ate my wife's stew.
True.
The leader paid me in wool, a crazy thing to do. But oh, what a story they told about angels and light. Although nothing surprises me after that night, except maybe this caravan comes out of the east. with their carpets and servants demanding a feast.
So they got my pita and lamb on a stick, the same as the shepherds. They ate just as quick. When they went to their camels a few gifts to unpack, we gasped when we saw what came out of their sack.
Their journey was long, and I asked them to stay. But they left in the morning by a roundabout way. They were worried that Herod would track them this far and said something confusing about chasing a star. I remember that myrrh and the gold and perfume.
I remember that we found a small baby, a room. And I remember that shepherds and magi eat stew.
And that donkeys move over, and the war horses too.
So when you share peace, like those angels proclaim,
please remember one innkeeper, Jacob by name.
We hope this has brought you a smile this morning.
Thank you, Marin Tirabassi. That wasn't exactly the...
It wasn't exactly the prologue to John.
The prologue to John.
But it talks, too, about dark and light, about good and evil, about mm-hmm. different kinds of folks.
Right. And so on those evenings of lessons and carols, the last words we share are about that very thing. The last words in the New Revised Standard are, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it."
And we get that. You know, in a dark room, all you have to do is light one candle. Even clicking on an electric candle will do. It doesn't have to be a big light. Any light chases darkness away.
You can just turn on a flashlight in a dark room, and boom, the darkness is overcome.
Or you flick a switch. Hatred and fear are present, and the smallest light pushes them back.
So we get how the light overcomes the darkness.
At least interrupts it.
Yeah.
Right.
But you found something new.
Yeah. So this week I was reading that prologue from John in the translation that we shared this morning in worship. And instead of saying the light shines in the darkness and the darkness could not overcome it, it says the light in the darkness shines and the darkness could not apprehend it.
Apprehend.
And that word apprehend really startled me. I think of apprehend as what police do when they're apprehending a criminal or an
innocent bystander
right. It has a taking someone and bringing them away, putting them away. And mm-hmm. so that image that the light came into the darkness and darkness could not take it and put it away, that makes sense to me. But
that's not the only part,
right?
So as I always say when I'm confused about stuff in scripture, it's to the concordance, let us go. And we opened up, figure out what the Greek was.
Well, Mitch did.
Okay. and the word is, or the root word is katalambano, which sounds like a really cool dance that I should learn. Katalambano means to obtain, to attain, to take hold of, to seize, to overtake, to grasp. So I get that in the context of John's reading. But it also means to understand, to realize, to find out, which I couldn't figure out how those were related to grasp, to take away and put in jail, and to understand, But then I realized that we do get it because we do the same thing in English. We say, oh, I grasp that concept. I get that concept. We're doing the same thing in English.
And that's what caught me when I read the scripture, because when I read the darkness could not apprehend it, I thought, oh my gosh, that means the darkness could not understand it, couldn't realize it, couldn't get it. And so evil and fear, they can't overcome love, but they can't understand love. Evil doesn't know what love's about somehow. It can't grasp the concept.
Can't get it. C.S. Lewis has a wonderful short novel called The Screwtape Letters. And if you haven't read it, it purports to be a series of letters between a senior demon and a junior demon, Screwtape, writing to his nephew, Wormwood, about the subtle art of gaining human souls for snacks. They eat human souls. And Screwtape talks about how God loves he uses the masculine pronouns there. God loves God's hairy bipedal apes that God created. And he doesn't understand that love, but then he realizes that, scratch that, we know that can't be the thing. God can't love these creatures. There has to be some secret plot that God is doing. There has to be a conspiracy. There must be, God has some angle, and they can't figure it out, and they have their best spies.
They actually have a research department.
They have a research
trying
department
to figure it out.
Figuring out, what is God really doing here? Because they can't comprehend. Pure, self-giving, divine love makes no sense, because evil and fear are about self and about self-preservation, even at the expense of everyone else. Mm-hmm. While love, like light, is self-giving. It pours itself out, to use another biblical term.
Like a candle just gives its light. It doesn't really pay any attention to whether it's dark.
Right.
It just gives
its
light. It
offers itself out,
right,
for the revealing and the healing and the well-being of others.
And that just doesn't make sense to evil.
Right.
It just doesn't get it. It just doesn't get love. It doesn't get light. It doesn't get the word. And that's the brilliance of the word that John uses, is it's that evil doesn't capture light, but it also doesn't get light in all the senses of get. It doesn't grasp it. It doesn't understand it.
Now, throughout the Christmas stories that we read in scripture, we see, and especially in our Christmas stories in Matthew and Luke, we see some characters get it. They begin to grasp something of God's love and light. They apprehend it. They
right.
comprehend it. They understand it. They get it. It begins with Mary, of course, when she says yes to this radical, audacious plan of God to come into the world.
And Joseph, to whom the angel comes and says, it's all good. Mary's baby is by the Holy Spirit, and he apprehends it. He's like, okay, I'm in, right?
We have Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary's cousin and her husband. Get it. Zechariah needs a little coaxing to get it.
Right. The shepherds get it.
Mm-hmm.
They, when they hear the angels, they go running down to see what happened in Bethlehem. The Magi get it. They see something happen in the sky. And so they go to see what it is that's happened. They understand the light shining in the darkness.
I guess they might have gotten it first, because they were
They had to travel farther away.
They had a long journey. Simeon and Hannah are two almost invisible characters who are at the temple in Luke's gospel,
where they bring the baby to have him blessed,
and they get it.
They get it as well.
And like with Danielle's message, they go from waiting for it to telling about it.
And really, it's what this kind of funny Night Before Christmas poem that we read for you this morning is about, the innkeeper and his wife getting it, even though their inn is full and their food is all eaten. They too understand that this is something special happening. This is God coming to be among us.
Right. Even in the midst of the chaos of a crowded inn.
So the Christmas story is full of all kinds of folk, mostly common folk, who apprehend, who sees the concept, who sees the love that's there.
Now in Matthew's gospel, he makes sure to let us know that there are those who don't get it, who don't apprehend it, because of their positions of power and authority. Most notably is Herod, the king. He doesn't get it. He can't grasp the concept.
Because Herod too is all about his own power and his own preservation. This is Herod who had his own children assassinated if he felt that they threatened his throne, right? He was all about self-preservation.
Right. So he was entirely invested in an unjust, coercive status quo that had to be maintained at all costs.
Yeah.
And
his soldiers, the minions, they were caught up in keeping him happy, which meant also maintaining that status quo.
So it's interesting to see in both Matthew and Luke, it's the relative status of those who observe light and love that determines how it is they react to it.
Right. And how they respond to the world. And what we thought about was that it's not just that they apprehend the logos. It's not just that they get the word and the light and the love. It's also that God gets them. The logos seizes them as well. Their lives are never the same. T.S. Eliot has a marvelous poem about the wise men who say that after seeing this babe, their lives are never the same again. There's this sense of, it's not just about us apprehending the light and the love. It's also us being open to being seized by the light and love so that it knows us so deeply, so that we're different and we live differently in the world because of it.
But we also hear in Matthew's gospel that not everyone is so willing.
Well, you have to be open.
You have to be open.
Yeah, you have to be willing to be changed.
So the folks in the story, some are willing to be changed, some are not. And it's like that today too. We tell this Christmas story every year. And it's not a very big story and we never get bored with it. We've been telling this story for 1900 years.
Yeah.
Every winter in the Northern Hemisphere.
Right.
For 1900 years. And why do we continue to share that story? Because every season it continues to capture us. It continues to grab us. It continues to apprehend us. The nativity still grabs us. The incarnation still apprehends us and shakes us to the core, and we can't be the same.
And we tell it year after year because we want to be changed. We want to be made whole. We want to be filled with light and love. And sometimes what's happened in the previous year, this year would be a good example, tends to shake us away from that being light, from that being love in the world. And so it is good to be seized again, to be apprehended again, to be known deeply again by the light, by the love of the world.
Mm-hmm. The light still shines. That is the good news of Christmas, not only in the ancient stories of Scripture, but all around us and within us, where love is yearning to be born, where light is struggling to be enfleshed, and where humanity and divinity can co-create joy and mercy and justice and compassion wherever we are.
And evil can't understand it, can't be seized by it, we can understand it and be seized by it. And in a way, that's our superpower. Mm. That's what we have that evil does not. And so we remind ourselves every Christmas that this is our superpower, this love, this light, this knowing and being known by the author of life.
So our calling to you this Christmas season is for all of us to open ourselves to love and light, to let it comprehensively apprehend us and never leave us the same.
May it be so.
Merry Christmas, y'all.
Merry Christmas.
We have another favorite Christmas carol to sing. We encourage you to be as loud and out of tune as you can. For angels we have heard on high.
The words won't be up, but know most of the words, and especially the Gloria part. So just enjoy.
I think I have the words up. Thank you, Catherine. That was lovely. Sorry for my confusion. I thought that was our hymn, but we will have a hymn in a few minutes. Lo, how a rose e'er blooming. But we're going to have time for a prayer right now. If you would like some prayers lifted up by the community this week, please write your prayer concerns in the comment section on the side of Facebook, and we will lift those up. I wanted to say real quickly that Liz thought of another word. The darkness cannot fathom the light, which as a sailor, I like.
That's good.
That's terrific. Thank you.
Measure it.
I invite you to come into a place of prayer. Quiet your hearts and let yourself be enveloped, grasped, apprehended by love and light. If you have a bulletin with you, please respond with the bold type. Like the people of Isaiah, we look for light but find darkness. We look for brightness, but walk in gloom. We stumble at noon as in twilight.
You are the light of the world. Be light in our darkness, O Christ.
With the psalmist, we say, let only darkness cover me and the light about me be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for darkness is as light with you.
You are the light of the world. Be light in our darkness, O Christ.
Blessed be your name, O God, forever. You reveal deep and mysterious things that we cannot fathom. You are light. In you there is no darkness. Our darkness is passing away. Already, true light is shining.
You are the light of the world. Be light in our darkness, O Christ.
Would you like to share some of the prayers that were lifted up?
And the prayers we have this morning from Liz. Prayers for the Hazazi family who lost their brilliant, compassionate dad, Joey, to cancer. And I would lift up my friend Gisela, whose partner of many years, Rafi, passed away just before Christmas.
We lift up those we share with our lips and voices and those names we hold silent in our hearts. We lift them all to the one who loves us.
We pray with Northa for the Latimer family as well.
And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. All right, now we have a carol that y'all can sing. Two verses of Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming. Lovely. Thank you. We have a few announcements to let y'all know about. We have birthdays this week to lift up. Tomorrow is Wendy Wright's birthday. And so we lift her up. And also she's in our prayers because Wendy is moving with her partner to South Carolina. She is halfway there today. We just got a letter. So We will, our prayers are with her for a safe journey, and welcome her when she comes back up to see her kids. We have a birthday on December 30th for Jed Bilodeau, for one Micah Lemel Hay, and for Paige Johnson.
All getting in before the end of the year.
All right. And on the 1st is Linda Deming. Happy birthday, Linda. And on the 3rd, Claire Noble. It's a pretty quiet week here in Lake Wobegon. We just have one class on Monday. We're doing our Bible study. When we're doing that with, as we've been doing with the animated series called The Bible Project, that's at 7 o'clock on Monday. We're going to be looking at chapter 1 and 2 of Luke's gospel. It's that's a very seasonal thing to be doing. So the project Zoom, I'm sorry, no, the webpage link is in your bulletin, and I'll be sending out a Zoom tonight for you to Zoom in tomorrow. So do take a look at that, Luke chapter 1 and 2.
And blessings to you all in these days between Christmas and New Year's, when it's a little quieter, maybe too quiet for you, but a time for us to really let the light deeply come into us, for us to apprehend and be apprehended by it.
The daylight is growing by a few seconds a day. Soon it will be a minute or so a day.
The light is coming.
So open your eyes to that light coming. We need it. And even more so, the light of love coming into our world.
And as you apprehend and are apprehended, go and tell this good news from God, who is creator and redeemer and sustainer, who's with us now and always.
Amen.
Amen. Go in peace.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.